From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, his name is Will Hart, and he'll share his insights into uncovering our cosmic ancestry, other mysteries, and some new information about Atlantis. Well, sadly, another hit for Dr. Lewis Turry. His predictions are simply remarkable. Three explosions hit hotels in Jordan's capital Wednesday night, killing at least 67 people, wounding more than 300 others in a coordinated terrorist attack. Deputy Prime Minister Mahwan Mwasha confirmed that the downtown Amman attacks were carried out by at least three individuals, a homicide bomber who walked into a wedding at the Radisson Hotel there, another homicide bomber who walked into the lobby of the Grand Hyatt, and a homicide bomber who tried to drive into the Days Inn. The Jordanian King Abdullah II, who in a statement described the blasts as criminal acts perpetrated by a misled and misleading group, cut short his official visit to Katsitskan to return home. The king affirmed in his statement that such terrorist operations would not dissuade Jordan from pursuing its role in fighting terrorism. And U.S. diplomats say Chinese police have warned luxury hotels now in China of possible terrorist attacks sometime next week. The warning comes as preparations for President Bush's visit to Beijing later this month are underway. The U.S. Embassy says the Chinese police warning was specific. Islamic extremists are planning to attack 5- and 4-star hotels in China sometime over the course of next week. The embassy advised Americans staying at luxury hotels to remain vigilant and to exercise caution. Authorities imposed curfews in the French Riviera cities to prevent rioting while the interior minister there called for the deporting of the foreigners convicted in the wave of unrest that has spread throughout France. Looters and vandals defied a state of emergency with attacks on superstores, a newspaper warehouse, and a subway station. Arson attacks continued after sundown. The extraordinary 12-day state of emergency, which began at midnight Tuesday, covered Paris, its suburbs, and more than 30 other French cities from the Mediterranean to the border with Germany. The unrest began October 27th and has grown into a nationwide insurrection by disillusioned suburban youths who complain of discrimination and unemployment. Although many of the French-born children of Arab and Black African immigrants are Muslim, police say the violence is not being driven by Islamic groups. That's what they say. Congress is moving to curb some of the police powers it gave the Bush administration after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, including imposing new restrictions on the FBI's access to private phone and financial records. A House-Senate deal on the expiring Patriot Act includes new limits on federal law enforcement powers and rejects the Bush administration's request to grant the FBI authority to get administrative subpoenas for wiretaps and other covert devices without a judge's approval. Now, even with the changes, however, every part of the law set to expire on December 31st would be reauthorized, and most of these provisions would become permanent. Well, after my rant and rave about the former FEMA chief, Michael Brown, being on the Homeland Security payroll, he is no longer now on the agency's payroll, ending nearly 2 months of compensation after he resigned under fire. He decided to end his contract early. Two NASA scientists and now astronauts say they have devised a plan to stop an asteroid potentially colliding with Earth. Edward Liu and Stanley Love propose sending up a huge rocket to tow away any such objects. Their vehicle would simply hover over the asteroid and use gravity as a tow line to move it out of danger. They say a 20-ton craft could safely deflect an asteroid 200 meters across in about a year of such towing. They report this in the journal Nature. And if you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at a little surprise. A golden retriever gives birth to a green puppy. I kid you not. There are images and some video there. The dog breeder is in California, is mystified after his golden retriever gave birth to a green puppy, one of four puppies born 5 days ago. He named the puppy Wasabi. And another surprise, we've got a surprise guest for you right in a minute on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Now, we have a surprise guest in the studio tonight, and I'll tell you why. A couple of weeks ago, I was asked to host a television program, which will be on January 24th on in-demand television. It's a pay-per-view channel called Predicting the Future. And one of those experts that they insisted on having on the program is none other than Dr. Doom, Ed Dames. And I had an opportunity to meet Ed for the first time. You know, he's been on Coast to Coast for a number of years. We've talked, and he was a great guy. We did our interview for the program, which again will be on January 24th, and he's here in the studio with us here. Ed, how are you?
Honored to be here, George.
It's nice meeting you in person.
The pleasure is mine, mine.
And you know what? When you meet someone, and because of your background, Dr. Doom, I didn't know what I was going to expect. I didn't know if I was going to meet somebody who was gruff and mean and ready to take on the world. And you're not.
I'm not such a bad guy.
As a matter of fact, we're going to post your picture on the Digicam on the Coast to Coast.
No, don't say.
We're going to put that up there so people can see Ed Dames. Hey, you know, we had an opportunity to talk during that taping of the program, which will be on January 24th. Just about world events, and I want to talk with you briefly about that, Ed. And if I'd love for you to stay around for phone calls at the other half of this hour, if you can.
I'll do that.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about you. You know, you people who are regular Coast to Coast listeners know your history, of course, but remote viewing is something that is your specialty. How does this come to you? How did you train yourself?
I did not train myself. I was part of a prototype team that the Army experimented with in 1983. I was one of six members of that team. And I was a unique member because I stepped down from very celestial levels of intelligence collection because I was so enthralled with the idea of remote viewing, although I did not believe that I could learn it. How could someone who is not psychic, I was as psychic as a rock, actually learn to be a better than the best natural psychics?
No special gifts as a kid or anything like that?
No, nothing at all. Just as I say, as psychic as a rock at that time. But this was a pie in the sky thing. Could people really be trained in this? And then it turned out that the protocols worked. We became the best, and the rest is history.
We've got a psychic who comes on Coast to Coast once in a while, Dr. Lewis Turi, who has had a pretty remarkable accuracy rate as well as you have. He talked about one on November 8th, and here we are right around this time period where he mentioned explosions. And there were three major explosions in Jordan with three hotels being blown up, with 67 people dying, hundreds others injured. With remote viewing, with intuitiveness, what's out there, Ed? How do people like you, like the Dr. Turis, get into this, tap into this, where they see these things occurring and they're able to make these kinds of predictions?
After teaching this and doing this for 21 years, we've got a working hypothesis, and it's this, that there's only one mind. You don't have your own mind. In fact, some people say, I'm out of my mind. That mind is global in nature. You're conscious, you have a brain, and the brain acts as an oscillator. And when one can turn his or her attention to a pattern of information, it appears that all things exist as patterns of information, and you can tune or turn your attention, direct your consciousness to that pattern. Unconscious has no problem doing this. The problem that we have is our awareness is fixed here locally while we're trying to gather information about something that's non-local. So we needed a protocol to get that information from this distant point through our wooden heads and down into some type of a format that could be usable. And the protocols that were developed are very rigorous, very precise, essentially the syntax and grammar discovered for how unconscious effectively communicates to conscious awareness. And that's what this is all about. We're tapping into a global mind.
You are called Dr. Doom. How did that happen?
That nom de guerre was given to me by both CIA officials and officials at the White House. I was on a briefing circuit as a young captain, a very successful intelligence officer who had helped break the back of the former Soviet biological warfare program. And I briefed at the White House several times because I wasn't just talking about Soviet megatonnage and throw weights. I was talking about new ways to die that were fairly excruciating and exotic. The staffers at the White House would come out from behind their desks and pay attention. This is a new way for you to die. And they started calling me that jokingly, but the name stuck.
Does it bother you when we all call you that?
I'm so used to it by now. Doesn't bother me at all.
All right. What are some of the things that you were asked to look at, to target, during your days with the government?
Almost exclusively to get inside of places that satellites could not see into or agents could not get into. Almost exclusively those kinds of things. What's in this particular building? Is it really a biological warfare laboratory? What's inside the reentry vehicle of this SS-18 missile? Are these really multiple independent reentry vehicles, or are some of them decoys? Sketch them. Tell us what's there. Is this radioactive or not? Those kinds of things. The other side of the coin, where we were not very successful at the time, 20 years ago, was locating hostages and terrorists. We could always describe their immediate location immediately. Absolutely, within an hour. But trying to find out where the where was a real bugbear. And only recently, with Matrix Intelligence Agency, which is my civilian counterpart,
right,
are we able to tackle that problem effectively. But it's still a lot of work. Remote viewing is a lot of work.
Were there any frustrating moments for you, Ed, during your governmental days, military days?
About 50% frustration.
That's pretty high.
It's pretty high because the key frustration points were when we were as a team successful and the information was not acted upon. That was really quite a disappointment.
As you continue to remote view and members of your group continue to remote view, what do you see out there, Ed, that we really should pay some close attention to?
It's gloomy. It's a very, very gloomy picture, particularly after 2007-ish. It is almost too gloomy to talk about. So what I've done with my team is pull back in temporarily in time and only look at near-term events, because I'd rather not talk about what's coming after.
Is it that bad?
It's that bad. It is that bad.
Can it be altered, changed?
Negative. Not by any humans.
See, you know, I used to watch the Christmas Carol movie, which I always watch every Christmas. And I remember Scrooge was being taken by one of the spirits. And he's looking at an event with Tiny Tim in the window, you know, and he's grabbing onto the robe of the spirit. And he says, Spirit, tell me, is this events that will be or can be? Because he was looking for a way out. He was looking for a way to change destiny. And the spirit kind of gave him the opportunity to change events, that he could go back and fix things. You're saying we can't do that.
Saying collectively, things are going to happen to this planet that is extremely grim. But individually, we do have a lot of latitude, and that was the case with Scrooge as well.
You're going to be on with Art sometime at the end of this month, I guess,
I believe,
right?
The 27th I'm scheduled with Art.
Great. You talked with him many, many months ago about a kill shot. I want you to tell us again about what that is and how serious it is.
The kill shot is a set of events that is related to our star, the sun, where the sun produces extreme activity in the form of solar flares that are so disruptive in terms of protons, particularly, that they disrupt Earth's magnetosphere and send protons right down to the deck meaning Earth's atmosphere itself. Over time, Earth's atmosphere begins to heat up, and this is fairly imminent. We're talking about this year, things beginning to cook this year. The Earth's atmosphere begins to heat up, and if you think we have problems growing crops now, watch what happens desiccation, when the water starts to evaporate, streams dry up, glaciers melt faster than ever, and consequently, many people will die of starvation, not to mention...
And this is worldwide?
The Earth will become essentially a rotisserie. And it will be worldwide and slow, but fast enough where you'll be able to see masses think about going to war over water.
Do we get any warning about this?
We already have the warning. The warning was with those massive solar flares that Removiewers predicted would happen.
True.
We were looking over the horizon. Removiewing is a good over-the-horizon radar. And on our radar screen, the biggest thing we ever saw was these massive solar flares.
Very lucky it was not a direct hit.
This time it was not a direct hit, but go figure. The sun during the so-called solar minimum, as you can see, is acting very strangely. And when we said it was about to go on a rampage, it did. But watch what happens next. It looks very passive, very passive right now. Mm-hmm. But that's
it's taking a break.
It's taking a break. You know, warming up.
You know what? The newsman in me would love to badger you about what you see in 2007 and beyond, this horrible calamity that may...
I can give you one hint. One hint. I can give you one hint and two data points.
Okay.
Number one is disease. And I am not just talking variants of bird flu. I'm talking serious disease, so serious that not only... will you see poultry and animals in North America being thrown into lime pits? But you're going to see in the out years cows and cattle, I mean dairy cows, being thrown in the lime pits too as a result of bovine spongiform encephalopathy on a massive scale. That means no milk for babies.
Is this something that nature drops on us, or does man do this?
My team has not investigated that. Although we have the wherewithal to do it, we haven't looked at the cause. We've looked at the cause of a global economic collapse, and that was disease. But we haven't looked at whether or not the disease is partially or fully related to, let's say, man's activity or is a cyclic thing or both.
And why did the government, with some pretty good results coming from the group, stop a remote viewing project? Why didn't they continue it?
It was because officials did not want to be connected with it. It was such a dicey thing. For instance, the president of the United States, with the exception of Jimmy Carter, the presidents are not briefed on things that are this potentially damaging. Vice presidents secretaries of defense, for instance, are. But the president needs plausible denial in case something like this happens where the public finds out that DOD is dealing with the occult or whatever you want to call it,
right.
Whatever somebody names it.
Good point.
So that's unfortunately the reason.
Do you believe other governments might be continuing to practice remote viewing on us?
There is one government that is making great leaps and strides, and that's China. And China is also working on our sister science, which is remote influencing, remote interference.
Tell me about
that. Psychokinesis, essentially psychokinesis.
Ah, okay.
Action at a distance. They're working on that. And the Indian government has a nascent but fairly effective remote viewing program too. The Soviets, the U.S. Dropped the programs.
I saw a movie once where it was a great movie. Where they would try to get into the dream state of people sleeping. And in that dream state, they try to scare the heck out of them, Ed. They try to kill them. They try to let them die of heart attacks. Did that ever happen in remote viewing?
It did. One instance, yes, it did. Bob Monroe, the founder of the Monroe Institute, actually he was a subcontractor to us. We sent young officers through his gateway program to vet and assess them as potential recruits for our program. Bob came to us and said he was being bothered by four people, and he thought they were Russians, and indeed they were. So I mounted a counterattack program to see who was entering Bob's mind when he was sleeping, and it was the Soviet extrasensor program. So there was this war in the ether between our program and the Soviet extrasensor team for a while.
But they were getting into it.
They were getting into his head, yes, and keeping him awake. But that's about all.
Dramatic. We're going to open up the phone lines now, give you an opportunity to talk with Ed Dames, Dr. Doom. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Ed Dames' picture is up on the Digicam. You'll find it right under the feature article. You'll see the Digicam icon. You just click it, and there you go. I kind of like that device. By the way, Ed's interview, one of his classic shows from early 2004, will be one of the classic shows available for Streamlink members to download. That will be posted this week for you. So take advantage of that. His website, www.learnrv.com. Learnrv.com. Take an opportunity and look at that. He dropped off some DVDs for me to perfect my remote viewing, which is probably in its infancy stage, but it'll get better. Let me tell you about the double After Dark CD available for you for Christmas, and then it is gone. You can call 1-800-598-2331, 1-800-598-2331, or go to the website, which is called AfterDarkCD.com. And welcome back to Coast with our guest, Ed Dames, and then we'll take your phone calls this half hour. Hey, I enjoyed taping that program with you today, by the way. That was fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was interesting as well.
I'm looking forward to
it. Gloom and doom notwithstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at least you call it the way you see it. You don't sugarcoat anything.
I do it because, for me, it's sort of a philosophy. It to tell people what's coming, and especially when it's doomy and gloomy like those kinds of things, it helps to focus a lot of people on the present and what we have and to prioritize things. Let's face it, when you're on your deathbed, the only thing that's important are the people that you love, and all the rest of that stuff is just horse manure.
So true. To the phones we go. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Ed Dames on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Phyllis. I'm in Colorado, and I have wanted to ask this question of Ed Dames for such a long time, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What I want to know about is subliminal messaging, which I bought some Joanne tapes years ago, and the message was underneath the sound of the ocean, and they worked. They really influenced your mind, and what I'd like to my concern is that it might be used in the military or in some other capacity. So what do you know about this? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks, Phyllis.
Well, subliminal noise, subliminal information has nothing to do with remote viewing because it's local in nature. Yes, it's very effective. It's very effective indeed, and I don't want to go into all the technical reasons why. They're interesting and technical, but it has nothing to do with psychic performance. It's local in nature, and yes, it can affect you just as much as somebody slapping you across the face.
When you remote viewers are doing what you do, and a lot of times you sketch, right? You're writing on a pad of paper and things like that.
We have protocols that we go through, and half of our work is sketching target-related data, and the other half is writing down the script of data in a very, very structured format.
How fast is the sketching done, Ed?
It's not that fast. By the time we begin to sketch, by the time we begin to do, especially at detailed sketches, after about 40 minutes, the process is no faster or slower than ordinary sketching, pen and ink sketching.
You're telling me earlier that the grasp of remote viewing is also done very quickly. It's almost as if you can't really think about what you're doing.
Oh, indeed. You're taught not to think about what you're doing. In fact, you're taught to do an end run around the thinking process. Thinking comes when you prepare the target, when you set up the search term in its global mind, and when you analyze the data. But the process itself is very much like playing the piano. You don't have time to think about the note you just played or or the note that you're playing now, you're too focused on what to play next. Otherwise, there's no music.
First time caller line, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, this is Bruce Bishoprick. I'm on 44 eastbound. I'm a truck driver in Missouri here.
Well, welcome to the program, Bruce. How close are you to the old Bush Stadium?
I'm actually on the west side of Missouri. I'm near Joplin.
Oh, you're way on the other. Okay, go ahead. Ed is standing by for your question.
Good to talk to you. I was listening last night when, George, you were having a discussion on intelligent design.
Right.
I had a great idea for a guest for you, a man who died and is in contact with God on a daily basis, and he could answer a lot of those questions you all were mentioning. I'll hold on for the screener and give him the number in a minute, but I wanted to ask Ed if he had ever heard of a program or a study called Mind Dynamics. I underwent it in Boston University back in the late 70s. I was able to correctly diagnose physical ailments of people I'd never met and that were in different physical locations in the country or around the world by getting their complete description and then scanning their various physical systems like their endocrine, muscular, skeletal, so on and so forth. And I, as a layman, was able to do this correctly, you know, 70-75% of the time. Have you ever heard of Mind Dynamics, Ed? And do you think it's a, with the one mind concept, a valid idea?
I've heard of it, and that's all. I don't know anything about it. But what we do as remote viewers, remember that the structure that we developed was tailored. Yes, indeed, it is a syntax and grammar for how unconscious communicates to conscious awareness, but it's still only one structure. And that structure was tailored to gather as much detailed information about a technical target like an ICBM or a new computer in as quick and as much time as quickly as possible and before burnout. Before the viewer hit burnout, which is in about 45 minutes. But there are many other structures that takes advantage of unconscious.
Hey,
okay,
I love
great.
The show.
Thanks, Bruce.
Fantastic.
I'll put you on hold so you can give Tom your phone number. West of the Rockies, welcome to First Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
How do you do?
Good. Go ahead,
well,
sir.
Well, I've wanted to ask Ed this question for a long time. I've heard him a number of times on Art Bell, but I've never actually heard him discuss this particular topic. I've been objectively researching UFOs for a number of years now, intend to for as long as I live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if he can expand or if he has any knowledge about the grays, the abduction phenomenon. Is it a physical reality? Is it something within the mind? Any information on that whatsoever that
okay,
I would just love to hear.
Do you touch on the ETs at all in remote viewing it?
Yeah, we've touched on them for 20 years. It's been probably my pet project for 20 years, but and the government has certainly had interest in it because certain of the intervention, if you want to call it, took place at nuclear storage sites. So there was a little bit of concern about that, and things that would appear in overhead photography that were not ours or theirs, Russians or U.S., were of interest, but that was about it. So my interest and my use of both the military team and MIA in researching this has been extensive and ongoing, and we are hoping for contact with a higher intelligence, and I think that we have to display a higher intelligence to do that,
sure.
But I'll save that for another show.
Do they look like us?
Well, there's too many they questions out there.
Yeah.
The they may be our progenitors, as a matter of fact, and that puts them nominally 100 million years ahead of us in terms of evolution. But the time spans are so great that I think the 2001 scenario with the chimpanzees and the monolith are probably closer to the truth, unfortunately.
What's the farthest you've ever remote viewed in terms of distance? Have you gone out to other planets, other systems, star systems?
When astronomers about 6 or 7 years ago first suspected planetary systems, planets around other stars,
right.
Remote viewers looked at those systems to sketch the number of planetary bodies, if any, around the star. So those were parsecs away.
Was it much like Jodie Foster's movie Contact, where she was, though in a machine, you could see her going into other systems, seeing planets, lights, buildings, and then she...
No, it's nothing like that. In fact, it's rather boring in some regards to do that. However, if we achieve contact the way we want to do it, which is on their terms, in terms of a higher intelligence, then that may be akin to the Jodie Foster experience. Who knows? We don't know what to expect, but we do have a lot of confidence that we'll achieve contact. That's a CE3 I'm talking about.
Wild Card Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Nick from Missouri and NighthawkZone.com here.
Hey, Nick. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Three quick things I'd like to ask Mr. Dames real quick regarding September 11th. One, does he think the three buildings in New York were brought down by interior demolition charges, especially since the lease owner said that the World Trade Center Building 7 was pulled?
Answer negative.
Two, okay, negative on that, he says.
Okay. Two, does he think a smaller plane or a missile hit the Pentagon?
Negative.
And three, does he think there was a missile pod underneath the second plane that hit one of the Twin Towers?
Negative.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Nick, thanks for calling. That must have been a very difficult time period for remote viewers when that happened.
Within 48 hours, my team had pinpointed, I wanted to know who funded that operation. I've said this before on Coast to Coast. And within 48 hours, we had sketched the command center and the source of funding, money for that, which was a bunker complex beneath the Omar Shah Durrani tomb. That he was the architect of Kandahar. Beneath that tomb was a bunker complex, and that's where the command cell.
Tora Bora?
No. Tora Bora was in the mountains. This was in the center, hidden in the center of Kandahar, beneath the tomb of the architect, Omar Shah Durrani, a beautiful tomb. So a perfect place to hide a command post.
All right, next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Woody from Valencia, California.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My question was kind of a two-part question. I had heard at one time that Ed had remote viewed the devil. Is that correct?
Satan.
Yes, Satan.
Which is a concept. As far as we're concerned, that's what we call a topical search. We go in totally unbiased on a problem like that to see what, to research the idea.
Okay. Have you ever spoken? I didn't get to hear a lot of the details on that, but did you actually find something?
Yes. The data and the data is essentially describes as much as we could perceive it. Remember, our thesaurus, our lexicon of experiences, is where we draw labels for things that we perceive. There are no words in the global mind. The words are in our memory. So there may be a pattern of information, but we can't objectify it because we have no word label to place on it or no experience. The closest thing in my experience was the idea of a living, crystalline entity, extremely intelligent, and very cold. So cold it could suck the soul right out of you, and it's something that you did not want to give your attention to. You did not want it to see you, and you did not want to get its attention at all. It was an uncomfortable experience, actually. What that means in terms of the physical universe, I don't know.
All right, let's go to our next wild card line. It's your turn. You're on with Ed Dames on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Ed. My name is Nicole, and I'm calling from the marina.
Oh, hi, Nicole.
Hi. Okay, this is a little weird, but maybe not so weird. Ed, my question to you is, you talked about cows being thrown into a lime pit.
Roger.
In
correct.
The future. I'm extremely sensitive, and like when I heard about the chickens and the birds being burned alive and buried alive, it traumatized me.
Well, think about, do you believe in the Gaia theory?
I don't even know what that is.
That's the idea that Earth is a living intelligence, a living system.
Okay.
Now, if that were the case, how do you think that living system would feel when tens of millions, and we're talking England alone, tens of millions of cattle were burned? Now, ponder that for a moment. You say you're sensitive, but that's very living system from which all of, there's only a couple of carbon atoms in our body that come from our sun. The rest of the stuff comes from this earth, and that's where we go back, our bodies. So if this is a living system, it's probably pretty sensitive to those kinds of things too and may react to it. In fact, it might mount a microbial attack.
But, I mean, don't you think that animal activists at some point are going to start sort of being reactive to this?
No, you can't. Not if these are diseased animals. See what I mean?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah. No, these aren't, these, this is not the wholesale killing of animals. This is killing diseased animals.
No, I understand, but I just think being burned alive, regardless of diseased or not, I just don't see the spiritual aspect of that.
You're preaching to the choir, as far as I'm concerned, but that's just one man's opinion.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah. Okay, you just call it the way you see it, Mr. Dames. Simple as that. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with Ed Dames. Hi there.
Hi, George. Ed, how are you?
Good, sir.
It's Bob from Niagara Falls.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, I had an interesting comment relating to the cows and Ed's comments also.
All right, go ahead.
And that's watching the show Boston Legal.
Mm-hmm.
And the William Shatner character, two out of the last three shows mention he has mad cow disease, explaining, you know, how his quirkiness. But two out of the last three shows, he said he had mad cow. And I listened the first time. The second show where they did it, I couldn't believe it. Like, they're getting us ready. Social engineering through the TV.
Well, you know what? Some of these messages that come across television are strange indeed. I've always wondered, Ed, if they try to give us a message or two before actual events. Maybe somebody tips them off.
Well, the only instance that I'm familiar with are in the early 60s, where a couple of times the CIA was able to convince broadcasters to promulgate some manipulative information, but it was directed toward a threat, a foreign threat, and not the U.S. I think what the I don't want to comment about television.
Except January 24th, when your predictions for the future show is going to be on.
Roger.
On a little lighter note, ever remote view the North Pole? We're coming up to Christmas time.
No, but I had the wool pulled over my eyes in the unit, in the military unit, at one particular Christmas. I was told there was a threat, a terrorist threat against the United States. I marshaled all my forces, and it was just a big joke that remote viewers were pretending to remote view this terrorist attack. And
what kind of sense of humor do they have?
Oh, it was Santa Claus and the sleigh. And
all
that.
I thought it was
an ultralight aircraft, this kind of stuff. Yeah. No, but if we remote view an apocryphal event, let's say we remote view the idea, let's say 1,000 years from now, somebody digs up the name Mickey Mouse everywhere, and remote viewers attack that as a topical search. They do a series of probes. Well, you'll have one remote viewer sketching a mother reading a book to her daughter, perhaps. Another one, the animator doing the animation. Another one, the creator coming up with the idea. And the bottom line, analytical bottom line will be that this person, this famous person, Mickey Mouse, was not really a person. It was an idea. It meant different things to different people. So even though it wasn't apocryphal, but it was just simply an abstract idea.
You still traveling with remote viewing conferences and training sessions?
I am indeed. In fact, I have an advanced training a clinic in Las Vegas on January 21st and 22nd, but it's only for people who have experience with the DVDs. It's to finesse their structure and to give them more higher level skills.
Okay, Ed Dames' website is learnrv.com, and he will be on with Art the end of November. And look for him in demand on January 24th. He and a number of psychics tell all, and I'm looking forward to that. Ed, it's a pleasure to meet you, my friend.
Well, the pleasure is mine. I couldn't be happier to be here, and I look forward to coming back. I live, as you know, I'm moving to Ukraine, but I still teach and travel from there.
Okay. As long as we know how to get a hold of you by phone, we'll be okay.
I may give you my phone number.
And if not, I'll remote view it. I'll get it one way or another. I'll look at your tapes, I'll learn, and then I'll get the phone number.
Thank you, my friend. Again, it was a pleasure to be here.
Okay. Ed Dames, Dr. Doom. I'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast. Our guest is Will Hart, and we're going to talk about some mysteries on this planet. So don't go anywhere. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.